Dirty Glitter Podcast contains adult themes and language. Listener discretion is advised. Don't say I didn't warn you.
All that glitters is not gold.
Now I've seen everything.
But my dirty mouth never gets old. Feet.
When people ask me what dirty glitter means, I remind them that they don't have a podcast.
Welcome to the Dirty Glitter Podcast. I'm Andy.
Happy Halloween. I'm Giancarlo. You're welcome.
Boo.
Ah. it's just in time. It's getting nice and cool here. We're having real seasons in New York City. Like, we had a real summer and we've had a real transition to fall. Like, I don't know what to do with this. I haven't had a year like this since I was like in my childhood, right? Like, it's just sweater weather. I'm enjoying sweater weather. Usually in New York City it's 90 degrees until it's 41. And that happens overnight, and it happens one day in November. Like, suddenly it's just 46 degrees and you need a jacket. But we've had a slow transition, which is very nice.
And that's it's the opposite for us here in San Francisco, because October is considered, although I think it's politically incorrect, Indian summer. I call it Hottober.
Come up with that one by yourself. You're so creative.
I did at work and I felt so proud of it.
October, more like Hottober.
October. Exactly.
It's a special time of year, gay Christmas, where, you know, young baby gays get to dress up as anything they want without criticism. The really hardcore girls just wear lingerie and some kind of animal ears.
The budget Barbies, as you call them.
Yes. And just in time for the spooky season, you came up with this idea. I think you intended for it to be more a laugh riot, and I probably darkened.
Yeah, that's usually how it is.
Yeah, because I'm Wednesday Addams, and you are, like, I'm trying to think, like, you're, if there was Power Rangers and there was like a glitter ranger, that's you, you know?
Yeah, the pink one.
Yes, everyone lives to the end and we're all happy. but today's October themed episode is going to be about
death.
Or for our Spanish listeners,
birthday.
Ooh, look at us. Andy's finally embracing the fact that Filipinos are Latino.
I saw Selena the other day and I was inspired.
No, he got railed by a Hispanic.
Yes, I did.
Once the Hispanic was finally injected into him, he realized,
me gusta.
Maybe I'm not a white Midwesterner. any shout outs, Andy?
Oh yes, my former roommate in New York, Emma, congrats to her and Carter on their engagement.
Oh, I remember Emma. Is that, and that's the boy I met, yes?
Good for them. My other roommate with Drew, yeah, she got engaged and they actually were here visiting me this past weekend.
And it's a rare medal that Giancarlo remembers you. So congrats to both.
Yes, that's a win is a win.
Yeah.
And I would also like to give a shout out to gays and sexual people, because I went out to the Folsom Street Fair and for the second year in a row, and it was fun, it was freeing. Saw lots of sex on the street, dicks everywhere. My favorite thing that I saw was not the people, that was kind of gross, but it was this guy was like naked and he on his butt cheeks had tallies, and on his tailbone it said free use. So I guess people were tallying him, and then some big hulking black guy.
Big black guy with a big muscle, man.
Just being correct here, went up to him and just like stuck his fingers in and then pulled it out and then walked away.
That's horrifying to me. And this is why, to our listeners, I feel like because of the way I look or because of the way I dress or because I'm like, you know, a preppy goth, everyone thinks I'm so sexual. That's horrific. I would die. I don't like people. I don't want lots of people to have sex on the street. That's unhygienic. I don't like that. Good for them. I'm sure I've seen a video here and there, but like, I don't even like too many people in pornography, right? Like, if you get past three, I don't even know who I'm looking at. You know, I have the TISM and I have ADHD. Where am I focusing? Now you've split my focus and I don't know where to go. So, but good for you and the sexually free community. I am, it's the one place in my life I'm conservative. Like, I'm a freak for one dude.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like, we can
it's
do
that preference
in the privacy of our own home. I have had sex.
What about you? Any shout out?
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Keep us on track. really got derailed by the tally marks. I would like to give an extra special shout out to Mr. Josh Goforth. Hey, boo. Lots of kisses and hugs to you. He's a listener now. So I hope he doesn't get to any episode where he hears something that makes him go running for the hills. But yeah, that's fun. I should probably listen to the episodes and tell him which ones to skip. My mom is listening to the podcast and she texts me about it and she's like, "Oh, that's so funny what you said. Does Andy hate Indian people?" I was like, "Right, Ma, he might."
I'm after try before I start my political career.
Listen, that's going to earn you quite a bit, like quite a few voters, considering our current country, but in the state of our country. You know, since the theme of the episode is death, excuse me. Let's start with the hard stuff. Who have you lost, Andy?
My grandparents, RIP. My uncle. That was sad. A dog.
I feel like if this was Harry Potter, you know how they're like people that have been close to death can see testrels, which are those like bony winged, like kind of scary horses with wings. I can definitely see them because I feel like there's been like, I almost have to pick highlights of death in my life. Goodness, you know, pets since I can remember, you know, and then in my culture, in Puerto Rican culture, funerals are like a big thing.
Yeah.
Like for us, like the different families, one person from your household, if everybody's not going, has to go representing the family. It's all very godfather. So yeah,
very proxy, isn't it?
Yeah. As the least demonstratively emotional person in my family, I was oftentimes voluntold that I was going to the funeral to represent the Fernandez or the Alicia crew. And it'd be like, "Oh, you know, I'm giving you my deepest sympathies on behalf of my family. They wanted to be here, but they didn't."
Yeah. Why do I imagine you like entering the viewing and being like entering like it's like the Miss America pageant, like Italy?
You know what? And honestly, for Puerto Ricans, it is a little bit like that because especially if you're going to an evangelical funeral, you will be presented daughter after daughter so that they can try and close that deal.
Yeah.
They're like, "This person's dead. Life must go on. Marry my granddaughter. She doesn't." Okay.
Fair.
That happened. It happened plenty of time. And then, you know, last year, 2 years ago, I had like a year of death. You know, my grandmother was one of six siblings. Yeah. And in that year, she lost four. And then she was ultimately the last one to pass away. And that was like the hardest death of my life.
Yeah.
My uncle's death was also really brutal on me. So, you know, I've been through it. But, you know, I think what ends up happening with death is like when you go through it, there are also times when you just can't help but like find something funny, or you go through something that's kind of, you know, like really right now, this is okay. Like it just makes you look at life very differently.
I agree. I see that.
Okay. So, Andy, talk about your thoughts on death. What do you think happens when you die?
What do I think happens when I die? Well, I do think you can go to heaven or hell. And it's different for everyone. I don't think there's every, you know, one singular place. where people go. You know, some people could go to the white abyss purgatory, like you think I'm going to, and just hoping something happens. Some people get reincarnated. I would personally like to believe that you see all your loved ones, but that's also very subjective. Because what if you feel like you have a loved one, you know, in your life, and then you're like, oh, I'm expecting to see them when I'm there. And then it's like all the bitches you hate. Like, ah, shit. You know?
You?
Yeah, you. I thought I got radio ass or something. You know?
What are you doing here, girl?
So it varies. Like, I feel like everyone, like all the beliefs that are out there, it happens. So it's hard for me to be like, this is exactly what's going to happen. But what deep in my gut, I know that it's just like my life is over. So I wouldn't want it to be like, I wouldn't want anything continuing on, you know, whether that be like my soul, another afterlife or reincarnation. Like,
that's nah, dark.
Yeah, it's dark, but it's true. I'm like, eh.
If you get to heaven, you're like, actually, can I just like disappear?
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I've had it.
I'm tired.
That's exactly what it is.
Too long, girl.
Earth was ghetto, so I couldn't do it again.
I think maybe in line, and maybe I think about it a little too much. I was pretty obsessed with death when I was younger, as like a little boy. I think of it as sort of like, what's next? In some, like, you know, your physical form stops existing here, but like, you know, the Egyptians didn't have the ancient Egyptians didn't have a word for death. It was like second life. So you like die on this plane and then your second life begins.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe that death is sort of akin to dreaming, but sort of fluently, because I think our brains produce the most amount of energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with me on this. And the brain patterns are similar, you know, for people that are in comas or for people that, you know, right before they pass away, that energy has to go somewhere. And I think that sort of that consciousness is what continues.
Yeah. And,
you know, you just sort of keep going. Or like, if you were somebody that had really like vivid dreams or could create things in your dreams, you continue that in your next, you know, movement, mm-hmm. which is like you visit people, or like people that have died come to visit you in your dreams, or you might see them somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the best description of death I ever heard was in the book Mort by Terry. Mm-hmm. And basically death has an apprentice who's this like sort of nerdy gangly guy. And what they find out as they start like reaping people and he's training to be the next Grim Reaper is that what you think happens when you die is what will happen. So
kind of with what I said.
Yeah. So he meets like this guy that like he was like super religious, but he believes he gets rewarded in heaven. And this guy was a tyrant, but he travels onto heaven because that's what he believed in. And mm-hmm. then meet someone who lived this really pious life, but because that guy has stole something when he was three, he's like, I've always known I'm going to hell because
he goes to hell.
So he goes to hell. And I think that there is something to that, right? Where it's just sort of where your belief is where your consciousness and like who you are as a person goes, right?
It's giving manifestation.
Yeah, because like I mean, we wouldn't have like the Long Island, the Staten Island psychic or whatever it is.
The Long Island medium.
Someone's coming through. Okay, she lived by the water. I'm getting a vowel in her name. Did she have a vowel? Okay, and she died within the last 3 months to 17 years. There's sort of nothing to it. So that's what we think happens when you die. I know this is kind of dark. If you could decide how,
mm-hmm. yep.
What would you like? What would be your ideal way to die?
Yes. So I think about this quite often. And number one, I want to be quick and painless. Like I kind of don't want to know that I'm dying. You know how there are some like you see Grey's Anatomy and they have a plane crash and then. Yeah, I want to be, I just want it to just have, like, not even know. Quick and painless. Ideally, I just want to be old age in my bed. I just don't wake up. However, I feel like knowing me, I want to go out in, like, a fun way, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I genuinely want to be, like, dying of laughter. I want to be, ha, ha, ha. And then like I like if I could like go to a comedy club or something, and that, or like I was watching a Netflix special and I just like was laughing so hard, I just that's the way to go.
I think that would be awesome to laugh yourself to death. It's very
Exactly.
much a rabbit who framed Roger Rabbit.
And I would love, like, if this, I feel bad saying this, but also another option, I would love to go out during sex, but it would need to be, number one, like very consensual, of course, you know, but like I wouldn't want it to, I'd feel bad for the person, you know. I'm not saying I'm going into my, okay, you're gonna kill me with dick today, all right? I'm just like, it just happens, like, you know, I'm just like,
I
you know.
would need so many things in place, right? Like if I'm gonna die from sex, I want to die on like the second spurt. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to die with post-nut clarity, like reflecting on my life.
That's true. That's true.
Do you know what I mean?
Like you want to die on like on the way to climax. Yeah.
Then go, right?
Exactly.
I want to die up there. I don't want even like the slightest turn down. I don't want that panic of like, wait, maybe.
Right. I would agree with that. What about you? What are your what how do you think you're good? Would you ideally want to leave this earth?
So I have a lot of thoughts about this.
Okay.
Of course I do. There's a ballerina named Anna Pavlova, and she has one of the most poetic and beautiful deaths, in my opinion, that anyone has ever had. So she, this is, you know, before there was like a lot of modern medicine, and she basically developed a sickness in her lungs. And at that time, the surgery for it meant that they basically cut you in half. And then she would have trouble breathing forever after that. And when the doctors told her, she was like, oh no, then I'm just gonna dance until I die. She was like, I don't want the surgery. I don't care. And they were like, this illness will kill you. Like you won't live through this. We can't give you medicine or whatever. And so, you know, she did continue ballet dancing through the duration of her illness. And when it reached a point where, you know, it was soon to be the end, she sorry, I had to plug myself in there. She was in a hotel, right? She's in a fabulous hotel. She has a piano player with her. I should also mention for our listeners that like she is the ballet dancer who originated the piece or the dance to the piece The Dying Swan by Camille Saint-Saëns, right? She's clutching her swan costume on a beautifully ornate chair. And the piano player is playing the dying swan while she holds it. And Anna Pavlova's last words were, play the last measure very softly.
Ooh, hauntingly beautiful.
Yes, and she dies in the chair, clutching her dying swan costume to the music of the piece that she originated dancing, like almost too poetic. I can't
That
believe.
is very poetic.
Yeah, I can't believe Keira Knightley hasn't played her in a movie yet. And also, Anna Pavlova is the reason we have skinny ballerinas. Like, she was turned away from the Russian ballet like 6 times for being too thin and them believing that her body wasn't strong enough to dance. And then basically, she got taken on the 7th time as like an understudy, and the really strong muscular Russian ballerina got pregnant, so they kicked her out, and they were like, Pavlova, you're on the stage. And one critic saw her waif body and he wrote this whole piece of like how this is what ballet should be. And after her was when ballerinas got waifish and long and not so muscular. But I just think play the last measure very softly. I mean, for me, it would probably be like, I don't know, some Nine Inch Nails song, you know?
Fair. You know what I think about this Miss Pavlova's death? I have two things. After you said that she pretty much turned away the medical advice, she literally just said yes
Yeah,
and
and
looked at them. But then
she's like,
I don't necessarily feel bad that she
I'm all
died.
dance.
I feel bad. I feel bad for the pianist. He just had to sit there.
Oh no, if I play piano, that's exactly the job I want, right?
like near death pianist.
To be there for that moment and give her exactly the experience she wanted.
Oh yeah,
a lot of us don't get to pick our death. So I want or more realistically, I want to be strangled to death by either like Dwayne the Rock Johnson's thighs or Jason Momoa's thighs, face into crotch. Right, I'm not. I don't want to stare at your knees while I go. I'm looking at your junk while you squeeze me out. And as I mentioned earlier, third spurt, and then I die.
Like,
gone. Amazing grace. How sweet.
I love that.
So that is exactly what I would choose for my exit from this beautiful mortal plane. I guess I didn't think about the other person like you did. I don't know how Jason Momoa would feel killing me with his thighs. But, you know, I don't know. I guess I should take a little time to think about that while we have an advertisement.
It's been however long since the first movie, since the world owed its safety to one exceptional weather doctor person and one problematic president. But now they're facing a threat with a predictably unpredictable cause. Naomi, I'm seeing it again. It's just like last time, but different. Bigger, more dangerous. Something is happening out there.
I can't not do this again. I'm running for re-election. I'm not going to run from your reading.
You both need to take a look around. See what's really going on, man. We didn't stop that last mega weather disaster. We pissed it off. Now there's a sandstorm heat wave hitting Antarctica, and there's a hailstorm NATO hurricane hitting Dubai. This ain't normal, bro.
Stop it, all of you. This isn't just weather we're up against. That's why your readings are never gonna make sense.
Lisa Maria, what are you doing here? I said I want you to stay safe. You should be at home with the twins.
My last name is Thunder Snow too. We're a family. We fight the weather together. Naomi, I mean you too. Besides, it's time we stop listening to you and start listening to him.
Pastor Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Now I've seen everything.
Hello, my children. Lisa Maria is right. This is not Mother Nature's wrath. It's Father Demons. And we're going to need a whole lot of holy water if we want to save the planet and our immortal souls. So let's grab our Bibles and show this storm who's boss.
Let's show this mega weather disaster who's ahead in the polls. God and his vice president, the Thunder Snow Gang. Okay, well, I kind of think this accent's a bit racist.
This fall, get ready for a mega weather disaster of biblical proportions. Mega weather disaster 2, a snowball's chance in hell. A sandstorm's luck in heaven.
Well, what a commercial. I'm so excited. I love a sequel.
I hope I don't miss that for the 2.5 days that it's in theaters.
Love that. I'm so excited.
Now, getting back into the coffin, I would like to know, Andy, if you could know like how and when you were going to die, like just the information, not it's not going to be like the way you want, but if you could know, would you know?
Yeah, I actually would. I know maybe I'll feel differently once I know, as in like the stress, the trauma, whatever, you know, all that goes with it, knowing the finality, but I'd much rather know because I want to get some ducks in a row, because what I say is that death is for the living, because when I'm gone, my ass is out, you know, like my debt, death maybe someone has to take it, like, you know, my things.
Death is for the living.
Death is for the living. It's true.
Yeah, I don't know, because I feel like I'm already too slick at the mouth. And I feel like if I knew how and when I was going to die, especially coming up until that point, I would be insufferable, right? Or I would be a fucking predator, right? I feel like I know I'm dying tomorrow, so I might as well grab this man's ass.
Be a menace to society.
Yeah, I'm already, someone literally called me a menace today. So I think that it would be like, while maybe I would want to know, I probably shouldn't.
That's how I feel. Yes. Because like, if we're getting technical, I do want to know, you know, it's like a paycheck. You know, you want to know when you'll get that fucking paycheck.
Please.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's go to something more fun. Funeral ideas.
That is fun.
You know, what are some of, how would you see the big day?
So I think I just want my funeral to be fun, LOL, and a celebration of my life. And I need something very like funny and campy, something, you know, that's on brand for me. So I really want to have like at my viewing, just like a slideshow of my life, you know, the highlights and all this. And then I want Tyra Banks to be like, I have two photos in my hand. And then it'd be like, no, but she's choosing the, you know, the photo that's going to be on the big.
Like, in, like us in modeling photos during dinner.
Exactly. But you know what I'm saying? She's like choosing the photo that's going to be on the big ass easel right next to my coffin.
Yes.
And then what I want to do is to have all of like the pictures in a collage or whatever, and then go down with the ANTM elimination. Probably, you know how the what it faded. Yeah. That's like a dream of mine. Like for like that, that's very me, you know.
Maybe it could just be your family and then all the people that have passed.
Yeah. And then I'm next.
Another picture face. I feel like
when if I go before you, like, we're getting our biggest family picture.
Is this a competition? Are we trying to like get down to one Coons?
Exactly.
I would show up in like a ginger wig and pretend to be Tyra. My forehead's big enough. 18 beautiful Coons family members stand before me.
But only one. But only
17 of you. I'm gonna be leaving this funeral home today.
You know, fuck that. That's how I want to know how I'm going to die. With the time and place, I need to be like, I have 18.
And then I feel like you, as you were realizing you were in the bottom two, you'd be like, I fucking knew it. I knew it. I told you. I ate from the food truck. I knew this was going to happen.
It was the lumpia. I knew it.
And then I just turned over the picture. Reggie, we're still in the running. Rebecca's next up. And then you're just like, I told you. I knew it.
And then I feel like my exit interview, that it would be exactly that. Like, I should have known this was coming.
I'll just have them like opening the coffin in the back.
Then just going in.
Yeah, it's time to get in, baby.
All right. And now I have a question. You know, you and I are both fans of music.
Mm-hmm.
What song would you want to be playing? What would be your last song as like when you're getting buried or say when you're putting in the incinerator to be?
That's a hard ash. One. I hate to be like this person, but I think it might be Clocks by Coldplay.
Okay.
Or it's going to be like Rhapsody in Blue by Gershwin, right? Like, I'm going to need a moment, right? Like, I need dancers on point around my coffin.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, my pallbearers, it's going to all be very My Chemical Romance. Like, do you remember in that music video for Helena? It was so cut when the dead body got up and started dancing. He's like, are you near me? I wish I could make you watch this music video right now, because it's the whole thing's a funeral and it's all very emo. It's all very like 2005. They all have like the flattened bang.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and when it gets to the bridge in the song, mm-hmm. the girl in the coffin like wakes up startled. And then she dances down the aisle and does like really fast Shanae turns. And then right at the end of the bridge, she just falls back. Back in the coffin. So I would need a lot of animatronics. I mean, okay. Disney level animatronics.
Actually, you need production.
Everything.
It's the a music video.
I'm going to recreate the Helena music video for my funeral. Right? And my eyes will open little glass beads, my dead body dancing down the aisle. I need you to see. Just look it up on your phone. Just look, like, are you holding your phone? Look up MCR Helena.
Okay.
Because even if you see like the gifts, you'll understand the mood. And then when they're all like, when the pallbearers are carrying the coffin, they're like kind of doing this like really cunty Vogue down the stairs. What's the worst of it I can say? Things are about to rip my stay. So long and good night.
Hold on.
It would be very, I feel like that would be appropriately me because I feel like obviously everyone's going to be inconsolable. Right. But it would also be very Giancarlo if I had choreographed dancers to take me down the stairs.
I'm scrubbing through and I see this. Yeah, is
get to the dance, like get to the she wakes up. Yes. And she's just going to the aisle and she starts turning real fast.
And she died again.
And then she's dead again. That would be so me, right?
That's, I see that.
Yeah, so that's the song. That's the moment I'm recreating.
Fair.
I think deeply traumatic for people like were dumb enough to love me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I was at that, when I'm at that funeral.
Probably a finger falls.
Like, well.
I told you he would do too much.
For me, I would say, like, I, you know, my love for, like, just fun pop songs and all this stuff. I feel like, so I'll never forget when I saw the episode in Parks and Rec, there was that funeral, and then, was it John Paul and Mona Lisa, right? Were those the names, right? So at that funeral, they were, like, it's like to...
Don Raphael and Mona Lisa Saperstein.
When he went down to Bendova by Tiger and...
Don't be suspicious. Because he was faking his own death, was he?
That's right, yes. But I just remember them playing that song, like, that's playing when I'm being let down.
Yeah.
Like, I would love that. Also, I feel like I need something very...
A graduation song. I guess you could say he graduated from life as we go. We remember.
Exactly.
You would just wake up and be like, I'm not dead. I'm never falling asleep at your house again.
I could see me do something very much like...
Let the dirt wash over you.
I could see me also going down. Just like being let... go, like my last song would be something like from the 18s, like an ABBA cover of like Mamma Mia, you
know? Oh yes. Now I feel like I know the answer to this because it's how you've lived your life. Mm-hmm. But I'm guessing the dress code will be that everyone has to wear blue, not black.
How'd you know? And also, I have this idea. I said this in high school with my color guard friends. I was like, all of my color guard friends, I want them to wear every costume that I've ever had for every show, but then everyone else wear blue.
You want the Andy Eras tour, like your
friend? Yeah, I do. I want the Andy's Eras tour.
I feel like that would be very Dancing with the Stars, dancing the cha-cha-cha in Andy's high school graduation uniform. Emma. And then I would be, can I be Bruno Tagnoli? It was like an orgasm at Christmas. Exactly. I want little paddles to judge. Each person gets up and does Andy. Seven.
You know what? That's going to be at my funeral is like, or people are going to recreate all of my recitals, all of my color guard shows. So yes, you're right. It is an eras tour of my life, literally. What about you? What, black?
And I feel like I would like everyone to be very formal because people have forgotten how to dress. When I go to a funeral, I put on my fucking best clothes and then I go there and I see people in sneakers. And I'm like, you fucking pig, you low-life swine. How dare you? This is how you respect someone's life?
You never loved me.
One of the worst fights me and my brother had, or like maybe not fights because really I was just a bully to him. So our friend Curtis lost his mother, right? And it's the mother's funeral. So I arrive, I am in express black, like slightly houndstooth pants. I'm wearing my best Aldo shoes. I've gotten a shirt from Express. Like I'm serving this up. I have on a very long blazer. Like it was a blazer, but it was to mid thigh. So not a trench coat, but like very the Matrix. And I walk in, and this motherfucker walks in sweatpants and Timberland boots, yellow Timberland boots. And I just remember like stopping in front of him as everybody was walking in. I was, you are an embarrassment to our family. Go home and change.
Not the sweatpants.
Leave. And he was like, no, we were rushing over here. I didn't know what else to put on. I was like, I don't care. This is not how you're gonna respect your friend. And he's like, Curtis is wearing sneakers. And I was like, his mother died. And
Well, damn.
I made him leave and change. So if
And
you're coming
change he did.
That's right. If you're coming to my funeral, you're serving a look or you're not coming, right? There will be bouncers at the door. There will be people making sure that you are the dress code. I don't care how much your fucking tank top cost, Andy. You will wear sleeves to my funeral.
You know what? I'm gonna wear one of your dresses.
Oh, look, I'm swimming in it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do we stand next to the piano case or in front of
I'll wear one of your just one of your favorite pieces of clothing, and I'll buy who wore it best.
He wanted me to inherit his boyfriend's. Okay, so speaking of the big day for both of us, why don't you tell me what your eulogy for me would be, Andy?
Yes. So just before we start, I would like to let the fan know that this was my idea to write eulogies for each other because one of us is going first. And I know it's not me, or it might be me. I don't know yet. But at least we know what is going to be said when one of us leaves. Whoever leaves for, you know what I'm saying? So I wanted to.
Leave nothing unsaid.
And that's why I don't have a eulogy. All right. So, Giancarlo, this is my eulogy to Feet, Puerto Rican, Graduado. These are just a few words to describe Giancarlo. Giancarlo was a good man. He was beloved by some and feared by many, mainly all coworkers. I always had a feeling that Giancarlo would go before me because he had a habit of door dashing tequila, while I would be the one to walk the blocks to do it. Although he had a tough relationship with inclines, I didn't think that walking up the stairs would be his last walk on earth. I'll never forget when Giancarlo and I met at work. He was mesmerized by my beauty and was hesitant to speak with me because he had never met an Asian twink from the Midwest. However, he eventually saw past my perm and saw the real me, a straight-haired, monotone bottom. My favorite memory of Giancarlo is when he came to visit me in Dallas during the birthday and breakup from hell and made me pay for everyone's entrance to a club on my birthday. Although I was annoyed, There was an honesty in his actions that made me love him as a friend even more. If I could sum up Giancarlo in one word, it would be creative. He was innovative in every aspect of his life, especially in his art and fashion. He always boasted about being the creative one in our friendship. As I stand here looming over the casket in despair of the loss of one of my best friends, I just want to say these last words. Who's thinking outside the box now? I hope your afterlife is filled with feats, fun, and former felons. I'm sure that you are living your best life up in heaven or hell, or wherever life takes you, and it's most likely hell. And that you're enjoying being Eiffel Towered by Chris Lorita and Dakota Mortensen. Giancarlo will always be the dirty to my glitter, the wind beneath my wings.
Beautiful, beautiful, Andy. I'm moved to tears. And it really does set me up to not feel bad about any of the things I wrote.
I gave you the PG version too.
Can I get a little choir in the back? A little.
Yes, Pastor.
When I heard the news about Andy, I was so genuinely shocked. Shocked that this hadn't happened much, much sooner. Andy lived a lot like he died, recklessly. As a young twink, he was known for getting in cars with strange, radioactive men. Meeting father after father in off-road motel rooms. As a mature twink, he began his ventures in coffee and Hispanic men. With each new adventure, we imagined that we'd soon find him stuffed in a duffel bag in someone's trunk. It was hard to hear that he died in a faulty Peloton bike installation. But he cared about the way he looked and his fitness. We never saw the results, but it never stopped him from trying. My favorite thing about Andy is that he wasn't afraid of anything because he genuinely didn't understand a lot. So how can you be afraid of what you don't know? You took those chances and you lived like a rock star, truly. And by that I mean, you never knew what city you were waking up in. I'll miss your dead eyes when you were happy. I'll miss your dead eyes when you were furious with me. I'll miss your dead eyes when you weren't really listening to the story that I was telling you. But I'll miss the friend who always pretended to listen to me. This might be emotional for me, but I'd like to sing now a little bit of one of the songs that I know Andy loved more than any other, and truly one of the songs that always made me think of him. Oh, sucking on my titties like you wanted me, calling me all the time like Blondie. Check out my Chrissy behind, it's fine all of the time, like sex on the beaches. What else is in the teaches of peaches? What? Right. Fuck the pain away. Fuck the pain away. Fuck the pain away. Goodbye, Andy.
Bravo. And the way you sang it reminded me of, you remember in Bringing Down the House? When she was singing the slave hymn. Massa, are we going to be sold tomorrow? Massa,
can you sell us?
Yes.
Yes. I was giving you like a little, like that was my inspiration and Moira Rose. Like I was giving...
I loved it. I really did. I really did.
Yay.
Thank you for your lovely words.
Thank you.
Then this also brings me to our next point after our eulogy. How would we want others to grieve? How do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered as not nice. And this is something that's happened with everyone I have seen die, where suddenly people that everyone knew were epically dick faces are suddenly canonized. Or like people get up on the stand and they share all these stories. It's like, no one was a kinder, more beautiful, loving soul. It's like, she was a fucking cunt. We all know that. Like everyone knows she was a thunder cunt. She was a super bitch. Like y'all remember me as a bitch, right? Yep. Like don't want people to go on and be like, wow, you know, Giancarlo just loved everyone that he met. No, be remembered exactly how I am, right? Like I'm not good, I'm not nice, but I was right.
I feel like everyone's eulogy at your wedding, or not wedding, your funeral.
Fuck. How about that? Fuck you, Andy. You're not coming to my wedding.
How about that? Bobby, that's funeral. But I feel like everyone's eulogy is going to be like, he loved everyone. And I'm going to be here like, you know?
Yeah. What the fuck? Like that Kermit the Frog meme?
Yeah. Or how you think I watch TV, I'll be like.
Yeah. No, I know one chick will be facing the back of the room.
That's me. That's how I'm gonna give a eulogy, facing the back but turning around. Mm-hmm. Fair. You know, I don't this is gonna sound weird, I really kind of don't care how people grieve because everyone grieves different. Like if you think I was a bitch or you're glad I'm dead, that's fine. If you're sad about it, do what you need to do, you know.
Yeah,
so
I feel you'd be like, you're doing too much.
Yeah.
You aren't even that close.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, you're here.
I think, and speaking of grief, my advice for people with grief is like, do what you need to do on that point, right? Like, do what the fuck you need to do. If you need to be a mess, if you need to break bottles, if you need to scream, if you need to be angry, if you need to do whatever. I think that people say such cliche shit.
Yeah.
Oh, she's in, like, when my grandmother passed away, really hard, and people kept on like, oh, she's not suffering, she's in a better place. She wouldn't want you to be sad. And I'm like, that's how I know you didn't know my grandmother. She would be up there competing with the angels. She would, my family is still crying.
Where's yours?
I miss me. I guess yours is forgetting about you. It's like the movie Coco, you're disappearing. Aw, that's sad. My family is just destroyed. They haven't been able to do anything.
Also, it brings you to this point. That brings a good point. It's like... I also think, like, there's no proper time, you know? Like, it's not like, oh, you have a month to grieve. Like, you do whatever you need to do. However, the stipulation is...
3 days, fuck that.
But the stipulation I have is, like, say you're a widow, you're the living one, you got to be real careful about how and when you move on. Because if you, like, a month later after the funeral of your wife or whatever, you're dating some floozy, well...
Mm-hmm. You know,
it's kind of like, if you think about it, it's very parallel to like an older person dating someone who just turned 18. It's like, yeah, it's legal, but.
See, but you know what? I want you to remember this, because why do I feel like now you're going to meet a widower who lost his wife and you would have been his nurse or something?
That's the dream. Listen, I say this all the time. I want to be a man's first husband and second marriage.
There you go. There you go. And dream. We all want that for you. Yeah. So I think we should just, for this next part,
mm-hmm.
rapid fire some of our most traumatic pop culture deaths.
Yes, or our favorites. Yeah.
Or our favorites, Andy. That's weird at all.
Okay, so I would like to start. My favorite is Brenda from Scary Movie 3 when she's in her casket and like she looks so peaceful and she's like embalmed, like all scary and shit. That's a great one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you? Any others so far?
Disney ones are very clear, like Mufasa dying. I would also like to say Littlefoot's mother.
Who is that? Really, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
The Land Before Time.
Before Time. That's right. When he's like, Mom, get up. Mom. That movie fucked me up.
Oh, yeah.
A ducky being cute could have saved me from what I was going through emotionally.
Also, that's a good one. Buffy. Because I will say when Buffy's mom died, that was the one that really got me out of all the deaths there. I didn't care that Spike died at the end. I was more of an Angel fan. But like, if we're going to just branch off that really quick, in Angel, I was kind of sad when Cordelia died. That was kind of like, I felt bad.
Spoiler alert?
Well, that show has been like 25 years. But yes.
I think I recently saw A Quiet Place and I cried so hard I got a headache.
Is that sad or scary or both?
No, it's more sad than it's scary. Although you find weird shit scary, so I wouldn't recommend a few, but I cried hard in that one.
That is true.
The whole movie is about a woman who's in hospice when there's an alien invasion.
Oh, well. Is it this the one with like the Emily Blunt or the Lupita Nyong'o?
Yeah, this is the Lupita one.
Oh, the Lupita. Oh, I heard the acting was great.
It was. Yeah. Which is why I cried so hard. Yeah. I had a headache.
Yeah.
There are some other ones. I think, you know, Madeline Kahn was the first celebrity I was ever sad for.
Mm-hmm.
Aaliyah. Aaliyah was the summer. September was 9/11. That was all the same year. Yeah. Brutal. So if you meet a millennial, how about you be fucking nice to us? We went through some shit when we were 12 and 13, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's fair. I'm trying to think of others. Who else I...
I think Black Swan. Natalie Portman has one of the cuntiest deaths that you ever saw. Like her slow turn and land on the pillow with her
fearless
beat. Mind you, she and the director disagree. So Darren Aronofsky feels the character died. Natalie Portman feels the character kills the little girl that was like within.
Yeah. I see. Yeah. That's a bit too cerebral for me. Gotcha. But you know, just to wrap this up though, death is dark.
Death is dark.
But there's also a silver lining to it, you know?
I think death can be funny too.
Uh-huh.
I had to tell my grandmother that her sister passed away, right? Oh. And I, you know, my grandmother, there was like a language hurdle, but there was also a hearing hurdle. Mm. So I just remember being like, I'm so, and I was saying in Spanish, I'm like, I'm so sorry your sister passed away. And she's like, my sister what? And I'm like, passed away. And she's like, what? So I had to yell, your sister died.
Damn.
And I just remember like it was so sad, but it was also kind of hilarious. So, you know, death is dark, death is sad, death is funny, death is beautiful. Keep mm-hmm. living your life because death uh-huh. is for each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Ain't nobody gonna live forever.
Amen to that. Yeah, well, as you said, death is funny, and death is sad, and death is coming. And that's the way the cookie crumbles.
When you're dead.